Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Benetti. Welcome to our show, Second Sight NYC. It's Wednesday, February 16th, 2011, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with my co-host, psychic medium, Chris George. Hi, Chris. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Better question is, Stephanie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
And I say that, everybody, because it is Stephanie's birthday today, so we are dedicating this show to my girlfriend and co-host, Stephanie Benetti, tonight.
Thank you very much, Chris.
You're very welcome.
So last show, I'd like to thank our guest, Joe Montaldo, for joining us. I mean, he was a great guest.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah,
he was blowing people away with his knowledge. He was really great.
Yeah, now listeners really liked him. I mean, we got a lot of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice and positive in his direction. Interesting, just to say the least, for that matter. He had so much, we probably could have had him on for another hour.
Yeah, well, he said that he'd love to do our show again, and we will be more than happy to have him on the show.
What was interesting about last week was that we are now affiliated with UFOParanormalRadio.com, which is Joe's...
which is the biggest paranormal radio website around. If you Google it in any search engine, it's always in the top five Googled...
I believe in even top three.
Yeah.
And also... more interesting was that we aired on the hour prior to our show.
Right, he interviewed us.
And we did most of the talking.
Right.
And then the second hour, he streamed us live via his network and was on our show.
As we interviewed him.
So,
and then he actually did most of the talking.
And we did a little flip side, which was really nice. And I think we had so many plays for that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. We're on fire.
So we have an interesting agenda this evening. As usual, we'll do the email dream readings. And as time permits, we'll take some callers, which always becomes difficult because our shows have become packed with readings and interpretations.
And listen, that's what we're about. We don't mind. And I just want to throw out there that we are based out of New York City. You know, for those of you who aren't sure, we are... New York City radio show.
We will also do tonight the psychic dream interpretations. And now we've added a new segment as of tonight. And it's the Psychic Minute. Do you want to elaborate?
Yes, I came up with this Psychic Minute for this show. And I think I'm going to keep it from this point forward. What I'm doing is people send us so many emails. And I get a lot of like one-question emails. And what I'm going to do is we're not going to actually read the emails. I'm just going to say... this is going out to so-and-so from wherever, and throw out a quick reading to that person. I got a bunch of them, and we'll see how it goes. They're not all psychic readings. Some of them are thoughts or psychic readings. Some of them are psychic thoughts or just my own thoughts, just throwing them out there to people. We'll see how it goes. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty good.
Okay, and I'd like to encourage everyone to send the dreams for a psychic interpretation, or if you have a psychic question.
Yeah, and the dreams, keep them under like 6 or 7 paragraphs, because if you want me to interpret a dream that long, go to my website and check out the dream interpretation thing on there. That's just too long to do on a show.
And we'll just touch on our Shanley event. But we also have something new added just as of tonight, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Very, very exciting news for our paranormal team tonight.
Tonight we are interviewing, or our guest is Lisa Johnson. She works with detectives. She's a psychic, and she should be a very interesting guest.
And usually we don't, I usually don't like to have other psychics on the show. I like to be the one and only.
Are the one and only.
Oh, thank you, Steph. For whatever reason, I really like Lisa. We've spoken with her before, and really sweet lady, and I like her, and I'm very, very excited to have her on our show.
So we receive a lot of emails, and we have so many callers, and we can't always get to the calls, but you can always contact us on Blog Talk Radio. We suggest that if you like our show, you click follow and follow the show, and you'll know when we have episodes scheduled.
Which is every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Pretty much.
Time.
We've been consistent
since
last year. And you could also look for us on Facebook. And Second Sight's entity on Facebook is Second Sight Para. You could friend us. We've lots of friends on
Facebook. Yeah, the last week I think we had over 300 friend requests.
Well, my name, Stephanie Benetti, B-E-N-N-E-T-T-I, or Chris George Cirillo.
S-C-H-E-R-I-L-L-O.
We appreciate all our listeners, and we have a new and improved website.
Yes, it's www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. And Stephanie designed it. She is a web designer, and she did a fantastic job. So check it out. I think you'll all like it.
And you can also find us now on the UFOParanormalRadio.com network.
Right.
It plays our archives, but we're looking to air live there as well going forward.
And I think that's going to happen shortly, to tell you the truth.
So I'm just going to pop right into our first dream interpretation, and it's from Tina. And I believe Tina is from England, so she'll be listening on archive and hopefully give us some feedback when she does so. So she wrote, "Hi, I was wondering if you'd be able to explain a reoccurring dream I've been having for about 2 years now. I would dream that my child's father, who I remain friends with, would be driving a car with me in it and drive right into a raging sea and laugh. I would then wake up before we drowned. I started to have these dreams again, although this time someone else is driving the car, and it's balancing over the edge into the sea. The kids are in the car. I try to get them out, and then the car tips. Then I wake up. The dreams are happening quite often, and I jump out of my sleep. Do you think this has a meaning? A friend told me to ask you. I hope you don't mind." And this was via Facebook.
Right. Before I give my reading, the first thing that came to me was relationship. That's the first word that came to me when I read this dream, and I really don't know anything whatsoever about Tina. So hopefully I'm spot on. All right, here we go. "First of all, dreaming of your ex tells me that something or someone in your current life is bringing out similar feelings you felt during that relationship with your ex. Think about the similar behavior patterns. Being the passenger tells me you weren't in control of that relationship. The rough sea is a symbol of emotional turmoil and that you're doing your best to handle life's ups and downs. Almost drowning is telling me that you're feeling overwhelmed by these emotions. And by the way, your ex laughed at your insecurities." This is where it kind of gets interesting for me. "When your car is balancing on the ledge, then tips, it shows that you're having difficulty weighing your options and choices. This dream is a lot about trust, trusting that you make the right decisions for yourself. I feel you may make a second bad decision. You seem to always wake up before disaster. This tells me that there is hope that you will wake up and see your present situation for what it truly is. Seems to me it's more of the same unless you change it."
Okay. So, Tina, when you listen, please give us some feedback, inbox us, either me, Chris, or Second Sight, for that matter. Before we take our guests, I just wanted to mention your website in terms of we are doing something interesting.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. You want to talk about stuff?
Go ahead.
How about I do it? You know, since we're, you know, everybody's talking about the whole recession thing, I'm doing a special where I will give people one question for $5. You go to my website, you click on the link, and you get to email me a question, and you will get an answer, and it's only $5.
And it's right on the front page.
Right on the front page.
Click it right there.
Right, and just because it's $5 doesn't mean you're not going to get the best of me. I will always give you my best because, you know, it's how you do business. it shows credibility.
Okay, so I'm going to take Lisa Johnson on the line right now. So, Lisa, you're live with Chris and Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
We're doing really
good.
Happy how are you,
birthday,
Lisa?
Stephanie. I'm doing well.
Thank you. I'm overwhelmed with so many people today. My phone has not stopped all day. Everyone reminding me. 1,700 reminders.
At least 1,700. So, Lisa, I mean, we met you, I guess, well, we haven't actually met you, but we've spoken quite a few times over the last, I would say, what, 4 months, 5 months?
I think it's been closer to 6 or 7 months that I've started to, yeah, it's been quite a while.
Yeah, well, you actually sent me a psychic question that I answered. I hope I was okay with it. And
you were brilliant. It was absolutely
please, you're
correct.
Making me blush.
No, you're very good. I feel humbled to be in this audience right now. I'm very flattered. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. We're happy to have you on the show. First thing, Steph, you want to ask her the first question?
Lisa, why don't you just give a little background about yourself, and then we'll go into our questions. Just, I guess, a little summary of exactly what you do.
Okay.
Okay, well, what I do is I consider myself to be more of a medium than a psychic. I try to differentiate that every psychic is not a medium, but every medium is also a psychic. And what that means is every psychic is not going to necessarily be able to communicate with people that have passed on, but every medium is going to be able to do that. And I discovered at a very, I discovered at a very early age, my earliest memories were of not necessarily visually seeing someone that has passed on, but I tell people it's like having a phone conversation and you're listening and then repeating what they tell you to say. So this has been since birth, I'm guessing. My mother is a psychic. My grandmother is a psychic. Medium, and it just flows naturally. I'm also extremely empathic, so for me, I pick up everyone's emotions and feelings very strongly, too. And I consider one of my best attributes is I am a human lie detector. You cannot pull anything over on me. I actually have a physical sensation that goes off when someone is being just a little dishonest. So I enjoy what I do, but my kids are not so happy. They don't get away with very much.
I could say the same thing about my kids. Now, let me ask you a question, because you'd said one of the first things you said is that, you know, you get the message and you deliver it. One of my pet peeves with psychics is when they get a message, they change the message to make it sound better than it is or worse than it is. I'm a believer in, and I made this deal with my spirit guides when I first decided that this was going to be my life. Well, actually, the spirits made that decision for me. They said, we will give you answers, but you have to deliver it the way we give it to you. You know, you can't alter what we're saying. And one of my pet peeves is psychics that don't deliver the message that they are getting. Could you speak on that before we even
I can tell you there are probably a few people listening that I have done readings for that can affirm that one of the things I really need to work on is my bluntness and my tact, because even if it makes no sense to me, I feel it's going to mean something to the person that I'm giving the information to. They're telling me this for a reason. And I try to soften it a little bit. That's something I do need to work on. But just the spirits have other things to do. And I think kind of I'm like a beacon. And they see that, you know, I'm shining. And if there's someone that they need to get a message to, that's exactly what they're going to get. They're getting that information. It's not going to be changed, rewarded. It's not going to be made prettier for someone's feelings. I tell you exactly what I hear and what I get.
It.
And sometimes I have to repeat it over and over again to the person, and finally they go, ah, yes, now that makes sense to me. Sometimes it takes a few minutes, sometimes a couple days to weeks, but the messages are for them. They're not for my benefit. So I feel that that's my duty to do the right thing.
You know, and I have to say, this is the reason why we have you on the show tonight, because I don't know if you heard before we took you on, I usually don't like to have psychics on the show. And I had a feeling about you that, you know, I would like you, and I knew you would be a good guest, but you kind of think like I do, and, you know, that just makes me feel comfortable talking to you, because that's the exact same way I would have answered that question. So
Yes.
I have to say I agree with you 100%.
Well, thank you. I feel that that's just something that I'm not really sure why I have this gift, but I have it. I didn't used to think it was a gift, and it's taken years to hone it where it doesn't overwhelm me. But now I see that I have this for a reason, and if I can help just one person, or with the psychic detective work, if I can get one bad guy off the street, I've done what I'm put here to do. And that's a great feeling.
You are so right. That is a great feeling, and I like the way you worded that. I see, but I have to change it up a little bit, because I don't feel like if I help one person, I did my job. I love helping people, and I love giving the messages, and I want to help a million people. I want to help as many as I can, and I know you do too. You know, and you said if I could just help one person, because that's the politically correct way to phrase it. But you know what? And this is psychically, I know you don't mean that. I know that you want to help many, many, many people.
I do. So. I love what I do. And I just enjoy it. And I've I've just realized that God, spirit, whatever you'd like to call it, gave me this and put me here for a reason, and I would be doing a disservice to myself and others if I did not utilize this. So it's a blessing, and I'm happy to share it.
So, Lisa, my first question in terms of psychic detective work, when did you learn that you can do this? And I guess how long or how did you learn?
Well, the messages from the loved ones or other loved ones has just always flowed. That's just always come naturally. I think the first job, and I've really tried to rack my brain so I can give you a really correct answer, was probably late teens, early 20s. We had a neighbor that was a police officer, and I just overheard him talking about a really big case. It was the Atlanta child killings. This was late 70s, I believe. And I gave him the name. I said, well, don't you know this is the person that did it? And there were a couple others involved. And to me, it was just like having a conversation. Well, don't you know this information? And he said, wait a second, how did you know that? Who are you getting this information from? And I didn't know. To me, this is just my everyday way of life. So I began then to just tell him what I saw, tell him what I felt, show him. I told him exactly where the person and persons were. And that case eventually, that's one of the few I can talk about because the time limit has expired on that for confidentiality. But, yeah, that's kind of how it began. And I word of mouth spread around, and people are very skeptical because I think there are so many people that are well-meaning, but they kind of chase these cases down themselves, whereas I don't take anything unless it's offered to me. Case-wise, it has to be presented to me, and if I get something, I will take the case. If I'm feeling this is not something I can help you with, I'll be straight up with you. I'm not going to waste your time, and we'll just move on.
Well, that's good. I like that too, because another subject that we touch on the show, and I know you've listened to the show and you've heard me talk about it, are psychics that are frauds and people who just take you for all your money and don't deliver on anything.
Yeah, Chris loses his mind when we get onto this topic.
Yeah, I actually
that
pulled out.
That really drives me. A huge pet peeve. And the defrauding of people that really are just in a desperate position and they just need comforting. They need some reassurance that there is life after this life. It does not end. It continues forever. And to just be able to find, I don't want to get too gruesome here, but to be able to find a body so that someone has a place to go and bury their loved one, has a place to go and visit with them, that in itself is such a gift to be able to give someone. So I really have a problem with the frauds out there.
I've actually on the show have called out a psychic who's I would say a world famous psychic for being a fraud, because I know firsthand. I mean, she actually tried to, or actually did, pull some fraud on family members of mine. So, and I actually called her out on the radio show, and she never replied to it. I know she heard it. I know she was actually listening to the show that night, but she never replied to it. But that is a huge, huge pet peeve of mine. Anyway, percentage of accuracy.
I am on my percentage scale, and I do rate myself. The cases that I get could range anywhere from just missing persons, Amber Alerts, to something that you would, if you have ever watched the Nancy Grace show on CNN, I work on those cases. Those are the type of cases I get. So everything from the high profile down to we can't find Grandpa, he's walked away, he's got Alzheimer's. So it's a very broad range of clients that I have. And I score myself at about a 96% accuracy rate. And when I say that, I mean I actually not only am able to locate the person, but I have to be as accurate as giving them the Google Earth coordinates as to where the person is, the deceased person is.
And you've actually done that.
I do this daily, yes. That's my job. I write out the report. I'm given a picture or just a name sometimes. And I write out the report instantly. If they are deceased, I'm able to communicate with them. They come through very quickly, unless they're in fear. Sometimes they've had such a brutal death that it takes a while to coax them that, yes, this is a safe environment. This person can no longer hurt you, because sometimes they're not really convinced that they're safe or that they are deceased.
You're right.
Usually that's rare, but I will talk to them, get the information, get the cause of death, how it happened. They show me. I do a lot of remote viewing through their eyes. And
mm-hmm.
then at that point, I will inform the law enforcement agency, yes, this is a deceased that we're working on. And then I will get on Google Earth, and I have to find the exact coordinates. I mean, down. If I'm off a degree, I count that as an error. That's a loss for me. Even if they find the body 10 feet away, that's a wrong for me. If I don't give them enough information and they still get a conviction, that's a wrong for me. I count that as an error.
You're stopping so hard on yourself.
How many
cases?
Very seriously. Oh gosh, I probably do about. I turn down more than I take, and I do about 5 a week. So 300 EP a year. 300
that is
EP
a tremendous,
year.
Tremendous, tremendous amount of cases.
That's
a lot.
It is a lot. I just love it, though. I really love it, and it's engrossing, and it gives me such a feeling of that I'm making a difference, and I'm helping people. Sometimes I do have to travel for the job. Skype is making things wonderful. You know, you can walk the person around with their computer, and you don't have to leave the house. But it's a great, great job.
Well, I would say it is. Are there any cases you can discuss with us? Because I know that our listeners would love to hear some. I actually have a story myself, but I want you to talk about some cases that you've worked on that you can actually discuss.
Well, I'm going to have to speak in generalities here.
Well, that's fine.
There are a few cases with a couple, one out of Florida that I'm sure people will be aware of a young mother whose daughter was killed. She's now sitting in jail awaiting trial. She killed her daughter and then put duct tape over her mouth and buried her. I don't know if this is ringing any bells for anyone.
Okay.
For some reason, Washington State, that's like a mecca for these type of people, so I do quite a bit out of Washington State. I think I can really. There's a famous dog trainer that was murdered, and I actually had to count that as an error department, a wrong, because I was off 2 feet on part of the body, but there was a conviction, so I count that as wrong, even though there was a conviction. A lot of kidnappings and. I really don't want to get too gruesome, but I've seen some really bad things. If it's on the news, chances are I'm the confidential informant or the anonymous source that you hear with that.
Cool. So, Chris, you have a story that you were involved with.
I do have a story. You know, a few years back, a psychic from New York had a case like this where a kid had gone missing in Ohio, and she was called to help, you know, find this kid, and she kind of hit it like a roadblock. She had picked up some stuff, but she hit a little bit of a roadblock, and she gave me a call, and I started working with her, and I took what information she had. I started processing it and calling all my guides, and I was seeing, like, bowling pins, and then I saw, like, a giant Milky Way, like the candy bar, and
mm-hmm.
I kept telling her, I'm seeing a big Milky Way, like a candy bar they're showing, like, but a giant one, and after working on it some, I said, okay, I'm seeing this kid by a bowling alley, that was the pins, in a ditch, and there's a huge sign, that something with the Milky Way. Well, the next day, she sent that message over to the people, to the cops, or whoever she was working with, and they actually found the kid behind a bowling alley in a ditch, and right where the ditch was, there was this huge billboard of a new store opened up called the Milky Way. And,
wow.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, and I was real proud of that, you know, and it was the first time I'd ever done it. Now I actually, in my psychic development classes, I actually try and teach this. It's not easy to teach, and I got to tell you, you know, we did two cases yesterday, on Monday in our psychic development class, and on one case they did very good, and on the other case they only did okay, but I'll tell you, what do you think about actually teaching this? Can you teach people? I mean, I have my thoughts on it, but I'm curious to hear what you want to say.
I think the better question is, are people able to learn this?
I think you can teach it. Yeah, everyone, I have yet to find someone, unless you're a true psychopath or sociopath, that does not have some sort of psychic ability. I believe that we all have it. It's just to what extent that you have it. As far as teaching it, I don't know. That's a really good question. You would have to be able to have some ability to remote view. And again, you would have to have the medium part because it's very rare that you get, I get such details. I will go into one case where I spoke with the person that had died. He showed me exactly the room, and he was dismembered. He showed me exactly where the weapon had been disposed of and where the different parts of his body disposed of. Now, this is in a place I don't know where it is, and he's giving me the street names. He's giving me the mile markers. I'm getting I can see through his eyes even what song is on the radio, the timing, so we have to nail it down. I have to be that precise. That's how precise I have to be. So for someone to be able to learn to be that precise, I'm not really sure, but I think that everyone can has some capability to speak with their loved people that have passed over. I mean, they are around us all the time, and I think that's what people don't appreciate or realize, that just because your grandmother or your brother, your wife, husband has passed over, they're around you. Just speak to them. And, you know, kind of, absolutely. I mean, you know, not at your private, intimate moments. They kind of give you a little pass there, but they're surrounding you. And you just speak to them. So if it's a stranger, I think that would be a little bit harder. But so I think it can be taught. I just have never had to learn that.
I think it can be taught, but not. I mean, you have to have a gift to actually be able to do, like, the real special stuff. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you could teach people to open the intuition and their psychic ability. To actually teach somebody how to remote view, I don't know if that could be taught. I think that's a gift you have to be born with. I find that people who can remote view to be very, very advanced. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the hardest psychic things to do. And people who can do it really impress me. But I want to, just to get off the subject slightly, you said, I want to ask you a question. I feel that spirits around you all the time, and I teach this in my class, and I tell my students and people that I give readings to, when you feel that there's a spirit around you, acknowledge them. Always acknowledge them, even if you don't know who it is, because most people aren't going to know who it is, because most people aren't psychic. But I feel that if they acknowledge the spirit, because it takes energy for a spirit to come through, and if you mm-hmm. acknowledge them, you're acknowledging the fact that it does take a lot of energy and effort for them to come through, and it makes them want to come through more. What do you think about that?
Absolutely true. For me, I've just had them following me around forever, and sometimes it's a little hard to get rid of them. You know, when I'm done with a case or when I'm done with a reading, oftentimes I will have messages for days, or I forgot to tell them this, or I forgot to tell them this, can you get in touch with them? And sometimes they'll really, you know, harp on me until I can get the message across.
Well, that was a question I had for you as well. Do you keep in touch with the families of these people?
Some actually really, really, really want to stay in touch with me. They fly me to places, you know. I'm going to see how general I can be about this. There is one case that happened, very well-known case, and this the girl disappeared. She went to the Bahama area and never heard from again. Was on the beach and was with a boy who is now in prison for killing another woman. And the family has brought me to their home several times, you know, to kind of, can you please help us locate her? Thank you for what you're doing. Passing messages along that I would have no way of knowing. I mean, very personal things. And this is just such
right.
a comfort for them that they can continue a dialogue with a person that's no longer physically here, but spiritually will never, ever, ever leave them. So, yes, there are several families that I do stay in touch with, and they just thank me profusely, and to me, it's second nature. I mean, this is my life. This is just what I do. So,
well, I'm very impressed with you so far. I have to tell you that, and I'm glad that we have you as a guest on our show. I think you're doing a fantastic job, by the way, and I know the people in our chat room are loving you too.
I can actually see one of them. The person that answered yes, that is the case. Someone guessed it. So,
oh, yeah,
those are the cases.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the type of things that I do work on, the really high-profile ones. And I'm called in at one of two points. If it is an emergency, like if it is, you know, a big kidnapping and, they're very fearful that if we don't catch this person in the next 15 to 20 minutes, they might not be alive.
Right.
Those are the types that I'm called in on. And also then the colder cases where the family just, you know, please put some extra time into this. And then you also have to worry about the open-mindedness of the people that you're working with, because cops are not, they're skeptical. They have to see it to believe it. I mean, they don't believe any. Everyone lies to them. That's their way of thinking.
Right.
So you really have to have a good rapport. You have to have a tough exterior, and you have to impress them, because they don't think you're real until you show them what you can do.
You just hit that right on the head, because I always feel like when I go into, say, a house that somebody says is haunted or they want me to come and do an exorcism or whatever, a lot of times what I do, because it is such a show-me world,
mm-hmm.
I go in there and I'll say, all right, there's a spirit here named Frank, and he's telling me he's really pissed off. And then we'll try and get Frank to say his name on our EVP recorder. And I'll tell you something, there's nothing more satisfying when somebody is skeptical, even though they invited you into their home
yes.
to help them, and they look at you like, yeah, okay, who's this guy? And then I say, okay, there's a spirit here named Frank.
I did that too.
Yeah, you actually did that too, Stephanie. And then you get on the EVP recording here, my name is Frank, and they go, holy,
yes.
you know? And
yes.
right then and there, you know you're doing an exorcism, and they believe in you, and you sometimes you just have to show them. And I don't like being put to the test. You know,
no.
I feel like, what I do speaks for itself, but sometimes you have to, and you have to show what you can do. And
the audience, the law enforcement audience, by just their nature, they are a skeptical bunch, and it really, and I'm a female, and I'm a tiny female, and I'm not very imposing. I'm not an imposing figure, and I have to talk the same language that they do, and that's where I need to work on my tact when I give the personal readings, because I talk to people like I talk to the law enforcement. The perp did this, and I use their language. So,
I like that though, and you know what? I'm the same way. And what I find is a lot of people, a lot of psychics who give readings, they're very 65-year-old white woman with glasses, turning over a tarot
mm-hmm.
card, or an older gentleman with white hair and very politically correct.
Right.
And what I find, and I think that was very 10, 15 years ago, what I find now is, like, when I do psychic fairs and stuff like that, people don't want to go to those psychics. They want to come to me, because I'm there telling them, okay, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's mm-hmm. going to happen, and if you don't like the way I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but I'm just giving it to you the way it's coming in. And
oh,
they appreciate
Chris,
that.
I love you. That's exactly the way I do it, too. I, you're paying for my time. You're paying for my energy. I want you to get something out of this. Here's if
right.
you don't
and
like
I
it,
can,
I can try
it
to temper
me.
It a little, but yeah.
Right. I mean, it annoys me when psychics are so politically correct. I mean, tell them what they need to know and get on with it. Get to the next person. Give them as much as you can in the time allotted to you and just tell them the way it is. And you know what? They'll come back again and again and again and tell all their friends about you. And before you know it, you have a clientele because you know why? Because you're real and they appreciate that. And that's just the way it is. Getting to my next question.
Sure.
What do you like doing the most about this type of work, and what do you get out of it?
What I like doing the most is when I find the body, when the police call me up, when the dog searchers, when the search and rescue teams call me up, when I'm on the phone with them and they go, "We got him, we got the body, we found the body," or when I'm trying to track down, they found the body, and now we're trying to track down Mr. X or Mr. Y, and he's walking around the store, or he's driving down I-95, and I'm seeing what he's seeing, and I'm telling the cops to get right on his tail. He's in this black Silverado, and the license plate is da-da-da, and here's the mile marker, and they pull him over, and they go, "We got him." That is the best feeling in the world. And also, and on the flip side, is consoling a family that's lost someone and sending them messages that are not generic, that are very specific. I mean,
right,
extremely specific. And they know that they're communicating with their loved one. So it's
right,
the flip side. Both of those I absolutely love to do.
I get
joy out of them.
I hear you. You know, when you can give somebody something so specific and you don't know it, and you know you can't possibly know it, it is very rewarding. You know, I was working on a guy who was brain dead in the hospital, and for whatever reason, when people are brain dead, I can communicate with them. I know that they haven't passed yet, and I still haven't figured out why or how I can do it, but they communicate with me. And I go and go to the hospitals, and these people that are brain dead are communicating with me somehow, and I'm giving their family messages. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like seeing a person look at their loved one, knowing that they can't communicate with them, and then all of a sudden I'm telling them, "Oh, he's telling me he wishes you had My Way playing from Frank Sinatra right now." And, "Oh, my God, that was his favorite song," and whatever. You know, there's no feeling like that.
No, it's wonderful, and I feel very privileged and very blessed to be able to do this, and it's such a gift of other people. You know, I do get paid for what I do, but to me,
you should.
I would do it for free. I really would, because I just that peace and that calmness and that reassurance that you can give to another person is priceless. It's just priceless to them. Peace of mind. What do you pay for that? A good night's sleep. What do you pay for that?
Before, Stephanie's going to ask you a question, but I have to just say one thing. I completely disagree with you about something. You shouldn't want to do it for free. You know why? Because that diminishes what a gift you have. You know, I'm not saying go out there and rape people for all their money. Absolutely not, you know. But I do believe that you should get paid what you're worth for what you do. Because how many people in the world can actually do what you do? How many people can help the families that you're helping? Not many. So don't ever diminish what you do. I just want to throw that out.
Oh, thank you, Chris. That's very kind of you to say. Now, I do get paid. Let me just back up. I do get paid for the law enforcement consulting work that I do. I do. They pay handsomely. So for the families, I like to have a really low rate because I know they're grieving, and I know that it's just a gift that I can give them. And for me, it comes as easy as breathing. It's just very natural. And if I happen to God forbid, I actually touch the person, then I get all of their information, too. So it runs into not only a mediumship reading, but then a personal reading as well. So
right.
I'm a blessed person. I really am.
So just because I always take it to a different end of the spectrum, what do you not like about doing this?
What do I not like? I don't like the brutality that I see that man can do to another man. I had a really hard time with some of the cases that I have are so horribly gruesome, and it's nice to see them caught, because it's a very frightening thing knowing that there are so many people walking around that have no qualms about doing such harm to another fellow human being over something as minute as you disrespected me. And to me, what does that mean? Get over it. I find that man's inhumanity to man is heartbreaking. That's the part that I really have a hard time with. It challenges my belief in mankind, but at the same time, I know that we're getting that person off the street. There's one less. And then I go and do the reading for the family, and it brings all the joy back. I had one reading really quickly. I'll tell you about that. The man had been he had been estranged from his family, and he was murdered. And he wanted to apologize to his family for what he had done to them. And the tears of joy and just the thank yous, and that was such a blessing for them, because he actually asked for forgiveness for specific events, and that was wonderful. So the bad is seeing the bad that people can do to each other. The good is seeing the healing that this can bring.
Okay. I have another question for you, and this is a question that I've been waiting to ask you this question. Do you plan to work with other psychics? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Why? Talk to me about that.
I belong to a few groups that we do pro bono work. And what we do is they'll hand us a case. Usually it's a cold case. And we each send in our reports. And we go down, you know, to who did it, the every single thing. And I do, when I don't get little detail, I get huge detail. The scent, the skin color, the eye color, the name. I could probably even give you the social security number if I was pushed to do it. So I get a tremendous amount of information on these people. And then we send them off to the leader of the group. I cannot speak for the other psychics. I know that I always get called back on mine to give them more information. I get the heads up, yes, you were correct. Yes, we got this person from that information. When I've worked with other psychics, I've found that there's only one that I work really well with. The others, we don't work on the same level. And I'm not saying that I'm better, that they're better. We just don't work the same way. I don't like it. I prefer to work alone. I work better that way. I have equal respect for what they do. I'm not diminishing anyone, but everyone's different, and we can't all, and we don't all read the same way.
Okay, well, you know what? Again, I have to agree with you. I definitely have to agree. Because I personally don't love working with other psychics, especially higher-profile psychics that a lot of people know. They tend to think that they're better than everybody. They have that arrogant.
Oh, no, I have great admiration. I will never say a bad word against any other psychic unless I know they're a fraud. But, I mean, everyone has their own degree of gift, and everyone is different. The way you do readings is certainly, well, sounds kind of like how I do them. But, you know, we don't get the information the same way, and it's distracting, and then you question your information. So, no, I prefer to work independently, if I have to be very honest with you.
You know something that I don't like about psychics is this. You can have somebody who's a really fantastic psychic, and they get one or two spot-on things. And to get one or two spot-on things is a great thing, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then why do they have to add the three or four or five other things that they just, you know, making up just to make themselves look better?
I agree.
I don't understand that.
Yes, no,
like,
I think they do that to make themselves sound better. And if I only get one or two things, that's all I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you I'm not getting anything else. Or this person that you requested, you know, you want to speak with your grandmother. I'm not getting your grandmother, but I am getting these three or four other people. I will describe the people to them. They recognize them. They don't recognize them. I tell everyone, please tape your reading. Please record this because, you know, you're going to forget it, right? Make notes. Type this down.
That's right.
Get into genealogy. Find out, because these people made enough of an effort to come and give you a message. It's up to you to take it. They're not coming because they don't have anything else to do. They want to give you a message. So if I don't get anything, that's what I'm going to tell you. If I get something, I'll give it to you.
Very good.
So Lisa, we're going to have to say goodbye to you, but I wanted to give you the opportunity. Do you advertise? How can people get in touch with you?
Well, okay, right now we're working on a website. That should be up within about a week or so. But you can find me on Facebook, and if you could type in for me how you spell my name, because it's not the regular Lisa. It's L-E-E-S-A Johnson, and I am on Facebook. And you can also email me at BellaBlueEyes1, that's BellaBlueEyes, and then the number 1 at yahoo.com. And I'm available. I travel. I do phone readings, Skype readings. You don't even have to be in the room readings, email readings, whatever you're interested in. I'm also doing some courses in different kinds of, I love religion. That really fascinates me quite a bit. So I'm taking now some ceremonial magic classes. So if you get on my homepage on Facebook, you'll find a link to that. Wonderful teacher. I've learned quite a bit from him. But I'm available for readings anytime. And if you'd like to talk to your loved ones or there's a missing person, someone out of your life, I'm available to help you out.
That's great. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Now, Lisa, what I want you to do is I want you to stay on the line. We're going to put you on mute, basically. We're going to go on with the last 15 minutes of the show. I would love for you to listen to the rest of the show, so don't hang
Thank
up.
Thank you.
And you have been a fantastic guest. I have to say, one of my favorites so far, by far.
Oh, Chris, you're so kind. Thank you both so much, and happy birthday again, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, what a great guest.
I mean, really good guest.
We're going to go right into a psychic reading email. So someone sent Chris an email, and here it goes. I have my own business. What do you see for me in the future with it? It's a dance studio, and her name was Teresa.
Okay. Once you have the clarity about what your goal is, dive in enthusiastically and without hesitation. I see that you've been immersed in your pursuit of your goals for some time now. You need to stop and take a nice stretch in the sunlight and fresh air. You've been working very hard, so now it's time to step back and appreciate what you've accomplished so far. I feel that you have a lot of chiefs and not enough warriors in your place of business. You need to fix that situation. There's one chief, you. Own your power, because giving it away causes too much physical, mental, and emotional distress. You have a good business, but a little tweaking can make it better. Don't limit yourself by thinking and believing that something isn't possible.
Okay, hopefully Teresa will give us some feedback.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about one thing before I talk about feedback from last week, which we did receive. You had mentioned to me about a missing kid psychic detective in
right.
Illinois. And,
right.
and
well, it was in from Indiana, and
oh.
And what happened was I was getting this vision of a college and an Air Force base, and in between was some type of like vegetation that was very specific to that area, and the name Rantoul kept coming to me. And what happened was I saw this kid in these weeds or whatever was there. I think it was wheat, and actually in between a college and an Air Force base in a place called Rantoul. And that happened to be in Illinois. They actually found the kid in this wheat field between Illinois State University and the old Chanute Air Force Base, right in between, exactly
wow.
like I had seen it, which was very, very cool.
All right. So this has happened to you quite a few times.
Yeah, and you know what? It's fun to do. And like Lisa said, it's very, very, very rewarding.
So last week we received an email for a psychic interpretation of a dream, and it was from Mary, and she was dreaming about cats and cats joining on her walk. And she was kind enough to send us some feedback, which goes like this. Just listen to my dream interpretation, and I'd like to thank you, Chris. It was spot on with how I'm feeling. Many thanks to you too, Stephanie. Lots of love from Liverpool. We have quite a few people from England.
Yeah, we have a big fan base in England right now.
And this one is also from England. Her name is Amy, and she was having dreams about her father who died.
Mm-hmm.
And she was opening a cabinet, and she was seeing her father. And she wrote, I want to thank you for the dream interpretation. I agree with what you said. I have no idea what the secret could be, either good or bad. I need to know what it is. I can't stop dreaming about this. Can you give me some direction? So you're actually speaking with her.
Yes, I'm actually helping her out some because this will be more coming up with her. I have a lot more to help her with, and we'll be talking about it on the show.
Okay, and then the email feedback that we got was from Michelle, and she believed her boyfriend, Tim, they've been arguing quite a bit, and she thought maybe something was going to happen, is he cheating? And she wrote back and said, thank you for the reading, Chris. You really put my mind at ease. I was driving myself crazy for a while. I spoke openly to him, as you suggested, and worked things out. Thank you both for your help.
We're getting some pretty good feedback.
Yes, we are.
And I just want to throw this out there. You know, if we get some negative feedback, we're going to say it too. So don't think we just read the good. We have read one thing that wasn't so good before because that's the only one we've ever gotten. So just don't think that we only read the good stuff because it's just not true.
Yeah, and once again, I'd like to encourage people to send us your dreams. You can send them even to the website, which is www.secondsightnyc.web.com. If you're not friends with us on Facebook.
And I just want to throw it out there again. We have that big special right now, $5 for one question that can only be done through my website. So go check it out and let me blow you away with a question and my answer.
So here's an interesting segment that we've now added to the show. And we've labeled it, I think, at the moment, until I can think of something maybe better or if we're happy with it, but Psychic Minute.
And what this is basically... people send us a lot of emails and just one question, and it's very hard for me to get to everything on the show, obviously. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say who it's from, and I'm going to give the answer. And there are people that listen to the show all the time that I might throw something out at them. It might be a psychic answer. It might be a psychic thought, or just might be a little rant by me. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, so... this is what I've written down.
This is what scares me about this segment.
You know me. Anyway, so here we go. The Psychic Minute. To Rose from Staten Island, stop blaming everyone else for your bad decisions. Once you hit 30, you really should start taking some responsibility for your life. To Gina from New York, if you don't slow down a bit, the fatigue you're feeling will turn into something worse. Take a day for yourself. Go to a spa and let them help you rejuvenate. To Jessica from Brooklyn, learn to forgive. Your father really loves you. To Marianne from Johannesburg and Esther from Houston, your dreams are really friggin' long. When I told people to put me to the test, you both took it literally. I need some time for these. To Marilyn from downtown Manhattan, live your life in the here and now. Learn from your past lives, but make this lifetime the best you could. To Sally from Staten Island, seems to me you have a hard time with reality. You will continue to lose everything important to you unless you stop the drugs, alcohol, and deviant behavior. To Dee from Brooklyn, eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Open your eyes and see clearly. See things for what they really are. To Michelle from Brookfield, stay positive. Change will come. To Deborah from Cali, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. And to the guy who cut me off today while I was driving, you know what? You could kiss my...
This is why I'm not sure about this
did
segment.
Did you really have to do that?
The reason we are doing this segment, just to mention, is that we've received so many mails and questions that we're trying to consolidate them and address them. And I've told a couple people from the chat room tonight that, you know, send us, we can't get to it always on the show.
Right, if they send it in the chat room, we'll write them down and I'll give them an answer the next week.
And hopefully the person who cut you off today was...
Right, he'll kiss me, right.
Was listening to the show?
I have one more thing to say. This goes out to Stephanie in Staten Island. On behalf of myself, Second Sight Paranormal, the elite paranormal team, and all of our listeners, we want to wish Stephanie Benetti a very, very, very happy birthday.
A happy hubba hubba birthday. Well, thank you very much.
Happy now, hubba hubba later.
Lots of love in this room, huh? Okay, let's talk about some upcoming events. We're promoting a psychic fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's still in the works. Once we get it ironed out, we'll be speaking about it more.
Well, just give a touch of.
Well, we're going to have.
Where, what,
it's
when?
Gonna be, it's going to be in Manhattan. It's going to be hand-picked psychics by me. So you know you're gonna get the best of the best. We'll have a numerologist there who I believe to be the best around.
I believe she might be listening tonight as well.
She probably is. I'm sure she is. She's one of my very good friends and one of my mentors, and I love her dearly. That's Marilyn. I'm just going to have some very, very good psychics there. I'll be there. You'll be able to get a reading from me. It'll be very, very affordable. It's going to be one of those events that, you know, people are going to remember. And I'm very, very proud to be doing it.
We also have the Shanley Hotel coming up.
Right. The Shanley Hotel is a haunted hotel in Napanock, New York. Haunted since the late 1700s, early 1800s. It's a phenomenal place. I've been there twice. The evidence we've gotten is really just ridiculous and off the hook. We have two openings left. If two people unfortunately had to drop out.
And that's really pushing it at this point, I think.
Right, but we do have two openings left, and they just came up now. So if anybody wants to go, you contact us, and the first two contact us get to go.
Just to mention, it's April 2nd. It's an overnight stay.
Right.
And a check-in is approximately 5 p.m.
Right.
And it's all set up. The decor is old school, I would say. And it's almost left intact the way it used to be. Like the third floor is unfinished. And
it's
authentic.
It's
authentic.
It's amazing, amazing place.
And it's owned by a friend of ours, Sal Nicosia. And
right.
You can go to his website, which is shanleyhotel.com, simply.
Right.
And check out the place.
And I want to add that anybody who's coming that for that night, we'll be videotaping it professionally, and it's going to be part of our DVD that's going to be coming out. And that DVD is going to also be off the hook.
We also, just tonight, there was a new development.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. So those of my team that are listening tonight, which I'm hoping everybody is, we just picked something up. A friend of mine, Andrew Jackowitz, who's actually the guy who's doing our DVD. You better get on it, by the way, buddy.
He's in the chat room right now. I can threaten him if you like.
Yeah, threaten him, because he needs to be threatened. He works for a show that's on Sirius and XM Radio, the Covino and Rich Show. And I think the guy's name is Steve Covino, and his house, he believes, is haunted. And he wants my elite paranormal team, Second Sight Paranormal, to go in within the next 2 weeks and do a big investigation in his home, where it's going to be professionally videotaped, and we're going to take all the audio clips, and it's going to be running on Sirius and XM. Their show airs from 12 to 3 every day, channel 108 on Sirius and channel 139 on XM. And we'll go on the next day as their guest and talk about everything, and we're very, very excited about this.
Okay, and the last thing I'd like to mention is a haunted house in Staten Island.
Yes, the haunted house in Staten Island is, I can't mention the name of the house, but it is a legendary home in Staten Island. We told the owner that we wouldn't mention the name of it, but we'll be doing a whole big investigation there. And after it's done, the owner is actually going to come on our radio show and talk about it, and that I'm sure is going to be a pretty interesting show.
Okay. So I think that wraps up tonight's show.
Except for my message.
Except for your message.
All right. Are you guys ready for my message? Here we go. Being happy doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means that you've decided to look beyond the imperfections. We tend to forget that happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but rather of recognizing and appreciating what we do have. The reason people find it so hard to be happy is that they always see the past better than it was, the present worse than it is, and the future less resolved than it will be. Happiness is not the absence of problems, but the ability to deal with them.
It's a very, very powerful message. I like that a lot.
I think so. Thank you, Steph.
Okay, we'll be back next week, which will be February 23rd, 2011 at 9 p.m., same bat channel.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
And we'll have an interesting guest. Her name is Kim McCrory. It's a fantastic story.
Yeah, her brother passed away at a very young age, and I actually helped pass him to the light. And we have pictures of him, basically the orb passing through me going to the light. We have an EVP that will absolutely knock your socks off. And what's interesting is I pretty much said exactly what he was going to say, and then we got it on the recorder saying what I said, and I'll never forget her face. I mean, her jaw just dropped. And she's going to be a fantastic guest next week, and I hope everybody listens.
This is also documented on the website, which is www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. We can all. This is also broadcasted tomorrow night, this show,
right,
on UFOParanormalRadio.com. And
at
I missed that.
9 o'clock
Eastern time.
Right.
And until next time, you can check out our website and check out our investigations,
and
photos.
And don't forget the $5 reading, because that's a big one. We're out here making the unbelievable believable, and may the spirits guide you.
Thank you, everyone, and good night.